Did you learn anything important today?
Are you kidding? I can't go another day without the internet.
What the hell? This show is bonkers.
Welcome to Cartoon Tonic, the podcast where we drink and watch cartoons. Saya, when you were getting the screen ready, it made you really bright, look like you were a ghost. I just want to point that out.
Like, I am a ghost, Brian.
Like, bro. Like, I know you've been outside, but it does not look like you've been outside.
No. My freckles get darker and then I just get red.
My name is Brian. Joining me as always is Miss Kayla and Casper the Friendly Ghost, aka Josiah. How are you guys doing today?
I'm good, doing good. I'm not rocking the afterlife like our co-host over here, but I'm getting by.
You guys suck. I'm doing good.
Guys, we're here for another week.
We are.
Mm-hmm. And for the first time, I think I'm equally excited for our beverage today, because for the first time in a long time, we are drinking the same thing.
We are, which is exciting. And it was your find. I think you should let our listeners know the special drink that we are drinking today.
Yes. Lovely, ghoulish Josiah here just turned, I want to say 31, right? You 31?
31,
year?
Yeah. I 31. Broke the 30 barrier.
Yeah. First one of us to break the 31, get out of the 30 barrier, you know. So I went on an adventure to my favorite liquor store, Top Shelf Liquor in Allen Park. They're not paying us. I just love them. So go get your booze there. And what's cool about them is if you are into whiskey, they tend to have some bottles for you can do little like samples of. So I was going to get you a tried and true. I think I was going to get you a Buffalo Trace. But he recommended me try this this brand here called Yellowstone, which they actually had them barrel a specific mash just for their liquor store. And they aged it for 4 years and they bottled it and they only have it at this liquor store. And it served on the actual barrel that this bourbon was aged in, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's so cool.
And I was convinced it was going to be gimmicky and not very good until I tried it, and it is fantastic.
Yeah, it is
very, very, very good.
So I picked you up a bottle, and then I grabbed one for myself.
I appreciate it.
It's fantastic. It's a Kentucky straight bourbon. It's 93 proof. It is from Kentucky. Cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, it's great. It's so good.
I forgot how smooth that was. Like, that is super
good. Yeah.
Our non-alcoholic beverage of this evening is coffee, because we've all had a long day. So just enjoy some coffee while you watch this cartoon, too, if you want.
I have a second alcoholic beverage.
Oh, a second alcoholic beverage?
I started drinking like an hour and a half ago.
You are prepped for this episode.
So if I'm even more off topic or slurring my speech, that's why. I've been drinking gin and raspberry lemonade today as well.
Oh, that is very good.
Good choice.
I have an amazing body. Body. Guys, I'm ripped as fuck. This is going to be hard because I'm a little tipsy already, but I'm going to try to get through this. I have an amazing bottle of gin.
No, Brian, you're proud of yourself. Body positive.
Can't even recover.
I got that extra 20 pounds from COVID going on here. I don't feel super awesome, but it's cool.
Oh, good.
I have an amazing bottle of aviation gin.
Nice.
Which you guys got me for my birthday. So
yeah.
Look at that full circle. And on a whim, I just poured some in some raspberry lemonade and it was delicious. So I was drinking that earlier leading up to the bourbon. So it's going to be a real fun episode.
Woo. Go team. This is going to be great.
So, I'm going to have you guys do more talking. Kayla, what are we watching today?
That is an excellent question because I have never seen this cartoon before. So today I believe that we are watching the cartoon show Gumball.
Yep. The Amazing World of Gumball? Is that the full title? Or?
The Amazing that is the World full title. Of Gumball. And we're going to be watching, what is it, Season 2, Episode 37? Is that correct?
Season 2, Episode 37, and it's called The Internet.
Yes, The Internet. And all that I know about this show is that it has a very unique animation style. Yes. And that's truly it. Also, it originally, I think, aired on Cartoon Network. That's pretty much, I think this is the most blind that I'm going into a show yet on our podcast here.
Yeah, me too. The only experience I've had with this show is actually at your place, Brian, watching it with your daughter, who seemed to enjoy it. So
yeah, and I do as well, which is which is saying something. And the reason that I picked this episode is because it is off the wall. That's the best way that I'll explain it. So Gumball is a British-American show, which is not something that we see super often, particularly on Cartoon Network, but you are correct in that. And the reason why I was drawn to it in the first place is because I just kind of saw it in passing, and it has this crazy animation style where some of the characters are CG, some of them are traditional, like 2D animation, some of them are pencil drawn, some of them are like real world objects.
Yeah.
And they all exist like in the same scene. You know what I mean? Hmm. So it's all these different genres and art kind of just thrown together in this living, breathing world. A lot of times the background is like literally like an actual like photograph of, so if they're in the school, it is a photograph of a school, so a real to life school with all of these cartoons in it. And it is dark and twisted and weird. It's like an acid trip in a cartoon show. And a lot of times when I do watch it, I'm not sure how it's on Cartoon Network. That's how surreal this show can be. They actually tackle some, like, it isn't this episode, but there's an episode. Okay, so a little background. The show follows a family where the dad is a fat bunny and the mom is a cat. Okay. And they have a son named Gumball, who is a cat, and a daughter, I forget her name, but she is a bunny. And then they have an adopted child that is a goldfish.
Makes sense.
Named Darwin. And there's an episode where it goes back in time to show like how Darwin became part of the family. Darwin was actually just a pet goldfish for Gumball. God. Yeah. And then, well, there was a lot of pet goldfish that kept constantly dying in this episode in really weird ways. And then the dad would have to flush it down the toilet and then go get a new goldfish.
Oh my God.
Every single time the goldfish would die, it would cut to the dad singing the Sweet Chariot song as he's dumping the goldfish in the toilet. And at one point, Darwin accidentally gets flushed on the toilet. And then the rest of the episode is Darwin trying to make his way back to Gumball. And as she, I believe Darwin is a girl, is on her way back to him, she's evolving. Like, she's like, so she sprouts lungs and legs and has the ability to talk.
What?
And it's just this epic journey of her making her way back to Gumball. It's just so fucking bananas, this show.
Wow.
So we need to get on your level with the alcohol to understand what's going on. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I knew the show was like...
At your own risk.
I knew it was kind of off the wall, but I didn't think that they covered such like dark topics. Essentially, yeah, that character is like people just dying over and over again.
Yeah, it's real weird, man. Like, they're... It's one of those things that I don't think I could really just properly explain. I think it's just something that, like, you're just going to have to check out. And this internet focuses on the internet and, like, social media and some other topics that I won't go into because I just want you to see it. And for them
to... You mean
to...
this episode?
What did I say?
This internet focuses on the internet?
this episode. I'm going to put this bourbon down.
Saya was just going to keep laughing, and I just needed to know. I didn't mean to pump the brakes, but...
You're a real good friend, Josiah.
He was just snickering under
his breath. I could have dubbed in another word or something and just done my best Brian impression. Snip it in a word, but...
Please do a Brian impression. I want to hear this now.
Episode. I don't know. Like, my voice is a little bit deeper.
My catchphrase, episode. That's just all I said.
That was the word you messed up. Starting off the rails on this one.
Good gravy.
That's what happens when you have two kids and you start day drinking. It's not even a big deal. Whatever. It's fine.
Listen, the sun doesn't go down till after 9. Day drinking is fine.
Yeah.
It's the only reason why daylight savings time is worth having.
I'm on forced vacation. I should have some drinks, you know, whatever.
So even though me and Kayla are pretty unfamiliar with the show, yes, I still pulled up a couple facts that I thought are really interesting that really made me kind of appreciate and more excited about watching this show. Apparently, people from all over the world work on this show, including people from Germany, Ireland, England, the U.S., and France. So really unique creation of it. Susie, a style of character that's called a chinkin, is actually just a person's chin, is provided by Ben Bacaletz. I think I'm saying that right. Bacaletz' real-life girlfriend.
Huh.
Many of the characters in Gumball are recycled from old advertising mascots that Ben Bacaletz created for his portfolio, which is fitting because originally the show was going to be about a remedial school of rejected cartoon characters.
Oh.
And like thinking about how many different ones that they have that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you'll literally see like in like their school, there'll be, you know, like a balloon is a character and a robot and a full-size CG Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like those are all students at this school.
That's the one that scares your daughter, isn't it?
She was afraid of the T-Rex for a little bit, yeah.
Was she?
Are they aware that they are cartoons? Is that part of the premise of the show, or is it just kind of...
I don't think so, no. It's just this world that they live in.
I think that was originally going to be the premise of it.
Oh, okay, that was original. They were going to be self-aware.
That's just everyday life for them.
Yeah. Another thing that the series does is they make a ton of different, like, pop references, apparently. For example, the movie Alligators on a Train, inspired from Snakes on a Plane. The Tale of Zelmore is a reference to The Legend of Zelda.
Huh.
The Space Invaders is a real-life game that appears several times throughout the episodes. Captain Elmore is a spoof on Captain America. And there's just a lot more. But it's interesting because when I think about something that's like a newer age cartoon that's kind of driven to... like catch the attention of the adults that are pretty much being forced to watch it. that's a good way to do it. It puts some pop culture references that you know the kids aren't going to get. And I don't know if there's any off the top of your head that you've recognized, but...
Yeah, there are a ton. This particular episode, if I'm remembering correctly, there's a lot of jokes made at the expense of Facebook.
Oh, really?
So that's something that they do. Yeah.
Nice.
I honestly think that this show is more like it was made for adults and like, we should probably change some stuff so a few kids get it too. Like, honestly, like when you watch enough of it's weird, man. Like, it's like a little bit of a more like PG Rick and Morty, I would say. You know what I mean? Like, it's got some stuff going on and you will definitely see in this episode. I'm excited for you guys to watch it.
Yeah.
And to give me some time to drink some water.
Our second non-alcoholic beverage of the day.
Always got my water. Is there anything else you want to cover before we hop? Are you okay?
Yeah, my throat just started making noises on its own. That'll be fun to edit
hear
out.
Hear it in the recording.
We're all fucked up today.
Oh, gosh. I don't think there's anything else that I'd like to add for the show. I mean, I'm excited to see how weird it is.
Yeah. We'll see how it is. Ready to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, please watch the episode and join us after this break, and we're going to discuss a little more about Gumball.
Thanks for the Gumball!
Gumball Banks. See the gumballs go down. Watch the pennies go up.
And we're back.
What?
Just finally, Kayla, breaking the stunned silence.
I don't... What in the acid-saturated... International collective creative mind nonsense.
It's almost like you don't have the words for it, which is fun because you have to give the synopsis of this episode.
Yeah, I figured I probably would. You guys are going to have to help because it was so nonlinear that I don't.
Yeah, we'll this, try. Thankfully,
well,
it's
well,
only...
It'll be a team effort. Team effort.
Yeah. They're only 12 minutes long, so...
You know, it felt longer.
It did, honestly.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we watched this episode. It's season 2, episode 37, called The Internet of the Amazing World of Gumball. So the episode opens to Gumball and Darwin.
Correct.
That's the fish's name. On the internet, wasting time watching videos. And... I don't even know how to talk about, like, the style of humor that is in this show. I love it. It's fantastic. I can see how this show would hit the target audience of older kids. I used to, in a previous job, I used to work with kids from, like fourth grade through high school, and I can see the influence of this show on those those older elementary school kids. Like,
really?
Holy bananas, the style of humor and the wittiness in the show. Okay, so anyways, I don't know how to pinpoint the exact things that are said because it's such quick humor and just like little jabs here and there, but the gist of the opening is that Gumball and Darwin are watching videos on the internet, and a video comes up, and it's one of the ones that we've all seen where they're like, scariest ghost video ever. And you don't see the video, you just know because everybody's seen the video. And Gumball and Darwin are watching the video really closely, and it's one of those jump scare ones. And somehow in his jump scare, Gumball jumps back and somehow hits a key which records and posts his reaction to the scary video, which is just him honestly doing what I was doing right after watching this episode, which is just
making a bunch of crazy faces and stuff.
Yeah. Noises and like shaking a bit. And like, so it gets loaded into the internet and he freaks out because he doesn't know how to get it off of the internet. And Darwin is trying to calm him down like, hey, it's on there forever. Everybody will get over it in just a little while. You just have to chill out. It's going to be fine. And then they go to school, presumably the next day. And all of his friends are watching it. But before they find out they're watching it, a very important part of this episode. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've been trying to remember.
The book. It's about a little platypus that's trying to find his place in the world. And Gumball goes off for like, honestly, 10 seconds. But it was very good about, is he part rat? Is he part duck? He doesn't know. And where is his mom?
The little platypus who took the wrong bus?
Oh, man, it's intense.
It was very good. It was very good.
Says he's having an existential crisis.
Yeah, I wonder if it wasn't a reference to the book Stella Luna, which is like the one with a bat where they don't know if they were a bat or a bird. And where is its mom?
Probably, yeah.
Before we jump forward too much.
Yeah.
The episode, I mean, it starts out with like something that we have all done, which is just sit with your friends and watch stupid videos on YouTube.
Yes.
Yep.
So the very first thing, I don't know if you guys caught it, they're like going like, oh, like looking away in disgust. And it's like his legs almost removed from his body. So it's like they're watching like skateboard fail videos. And then they click on another video and it's like just nothing but cute animals.
Yeah.
And like this, and this is something that we have all wasted just days doing in our youth.
Even now.
There was one thing that was just so like when they were watching the cute animals, Darwin just like puffed up and then
they're so cute. Gumball's, I'm getting fat.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, but it was funny.
Or was it they were so sweet, like candy? Maybe that's what it was.
I think that's what it was. But I just want to set the stage that that's what they were doing. And then when he had the jump scare, accidentally recording himself, and then it instantly gets uploaded to their version of YouTube, which has four views and then has, quote, more views than there are people on Earth have watched this video.
The numbers start falling off of the side of the computer as they're watching the view total go up and up and up, which was interesting.
And then there was a joke. He was like freaking out. And that's when, like you said, Darwin explained to him, you know, once it's on the internet, you can't remove it. And he just starts freaking out. And he goes, make it go away. So Darwin just turns the computer screen around. He goes, oh, that's better.
Right.
And then they're at the school.
Poignant right now.
Right. Exactly. And then they're at the school. And then, like, to take his mind off of his terror of what's like this thing that's uploaded on YouTube that he's embarrassed
situation.
Of. He takes his mind off by reading this book about a platypus having an existential crisis, which I thought was super funny. But anyway, sorry, continue.
So they are in the library and he's trying to take his mind off of the horror that he uploaded onto the internet and is reading about a platypus and is having an existential crisis and is freaking out. And then they heard a bunch of laughing, or they go to see what everybody else is doing. And they're on like the library computer bank computer. And somebody has taken the embarrassing video of Gumball and done what the internet does and just made it so much worse. It's like his face and then his eyeballs become his mouth, and then his mouth is still his mouth and it's still making the same noises over and over, or his face superimposed onto other faces.
There's just a bunch of parody videos.
Yeah, parodies of him that were plugged into that. And he gets understandably upset and says that he's going to go to the internet police and kicks over a bucket and storms out of the library.
He does say, he goes, he's talking to his friends like, why would you do this to me? It's like, you know, what's next? A video of me in a sombrero shooting lasers. And you can see the computer screen in the background. It's exactly what he said.
And his friend, and then his friend just kind of like slides in front of it.
So the internet police, probably my favorite part of this episode. What happens there?
First, the internet police, the police officer of the internet, is a floppy disk.
Yes.
So there's that. And they go and they say, hey, this, you know, we want this video taken off of the internet. And the internet police is like, well, I don't know about that. And he goes to pull up the video and a pop-up comes up that says, you can win a new car. And the floppy disk internet police clicks it. And the goldfish, Darwin, is just like, hey, everybody knows that you shouldn't click pop-ups. And it's just infested. Suddenly there's like dozens and dozens of pop-ups all over the screen. And the internet police dude doesn't know what to do. And he goes, hit the ad blocker. So he does. And then the floppy disk is so impressed that I'm going to send an email to headquarters about this. Takes out a little notepad, writes presumably, hey, use ad blocker. And then opens up the sliding disk part of his computer and sticks the piece of paper in the disk drive and closes it. And Gumball and Darwin are like, hey, that's not how you send an email.
I loved it so much. I love that.
Oh,
part.
It was so good. And so, I mean, essentially the entire scene is like the internet police is extremely outdated and doesn't know anything. And Gumball is like, you have to do something. And so he drags the internet icon on his desktop to the trash. And Darwin's like, I think you're going to have to do more than that. And so he then unplugs his entire computer tower and throws it away.
Yep.
And is satisfied with his service of the internet policing.
I love that
scene. I don't know if I'm missing anything more from that particular scene, but it was very good.
Yeah. He does say, he goes, come on, kid, trust me. I've been doing this since the 80s. And Darwin goes, you've been doing this in the future? He goes, no, the 1980s. He goes, there was a 19?
Yeah.
Little bastard.
He did say the 1980s. And it's very old on the screen. Sia, you were born in the 80s.
Thank you, wife.
You're welcome, husband. Oh, that tickles me a little bit. Okay. So after that, I believe they decide that they're going to go home and address the problem head on. This part is another one of those quick humor things. It's so hard to describe, but they go home and they have presumably bought, because they talk about it later, an HD scanner. And Gumball.
No, you're skipping an important part.
Oh, am I?
Yes. Before they do that, because that is my favorite scene in the show. But they decide to fight fire with fire by making a nice video to counteract.
Right. So they make a nice video. Darwin gets on and tries to do the cute thing with the ukulele and sing a song about how everybody except for lawyers, zombies, and jellyfish have a heart. which was a quick back and forth. She says, oh, you know, everybody has a heart. And Gumball goes, well, zombies don't. And she's like, well, you know, most people. And then Gumball's like, well, jellyfish don't either. And she's like, okay, but. And he's like, well, what about lawyers? And then she goes to sing the song. And the lyric is, everybody except for zombies, jellyfish, and lawyers have a heart. You do too. And the whole point of the song is it's supposed to be like this kitschy, folky, like, internet, don't be mean. And then as soon as they post it, the internet destroys it, flips the video upside instantly. Down, plays it super makes fast, them look dumb, makes yeah. them look really dumb.
Come on, internet. I know you're better than that.
And so after they tried the nice route, Gumball decides that he's going to go and attack the internet head on. And they presumably buy an HD scanner. And Gumball, in like the superhero land knee down pose on top of the scanner.
I think it was a Terminator reference, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's what I got from it, too.
Which is also right. why he was naked, because yes. when the Terminator gets sent back in time, he's a naked man.
So Gumball, naked in the Terminator pose, on top of a scanner, goes, send me in. And I'm sorry, it's so good. Darwin clicks the scan button and scans. You could imagine that there would be some sensitive parts of the anatomy which would be pressed right against that screen up for scanning. And poor Darwin gets just a face full of undercarriage. And the next scene, it cuts really quick, like it shines a really bright light. You see like the face of Darwin, shines a bright light in Darwin's face. And then the next scene is just Darwin standing in a bathtub with the shower head in their face, just spraying their eyeballs. And they say something to the effect of, I don't think we needed to get the HD one, like talking about the scanner.
Which is such a incredible way of putting a dick joke in a kid's cartoon.
Right. That's such a clever dick joke.
It was so good. And they say something along the lines of like, or Gumball says, well, we have to do something. We have to go find the internet and get them to take it down. And Darwin says something to the effect of, well, the internet, you know, it's a thing. It's not a person or a place. And then everything in the bathroom sprouts eyes and a mouth and starts going, yeah, and blinking like yeah. the toilet and the shower head yeah. and like the sink and the mirror. All of these things are suddenly personified, and it was very acid trippy, and it lasted a few seconds so that they made sure that you could actually see it. Well, then they return back to their room, and Gumball Googles, or presumably Googles, or searches for where the internet is located, and lucky for them, it's just three blocks away. Yeah. So they set out on a quest to go to the internet's house to get the internet to take the video down. And on the way, you are introduced to the internet via like this really dark, gritty shot of a mouse acting like a hand, using another mouse for the computer, like a computer mouse, not like a squeak squeak mouse, to also pinpoint the location of Gumball and Darwin, to then like mess with everything in the neighborhood to try and kill these children.
Yeah, try to stop them from getting to his internet lair.
From getting to his lair. So the internet like overamps the electric system nearby. It like starts messing with the crosswalk signal. And there's this entire scene where Darwin is like, no, no, Gumball, we can't run across the street. The rules are here to protect us. We should only walk when it says walk. And they're kind of standing on the soapbox talking about how you need to follow the rules because it keeps everybody safe. And they have their eyes closed the entire time. And there's just cars whizzing by, almost just creaming this kid. And Gumball is all the way on the other side of the street screaming and like just being upset because they both almost died. And somehow in the end, it still works out for Darwin. It's like, you just have to believe that the rules are going to work. And this semi-truck somehow just like jackknifes around the goldfish and doesn't just squish it. And Darwin gets to the other side of the street. and turns to Gumball and is just like, see, everything worked out. And in the middle of the road, there's just like dozens of cars and people all in this massive pile up because they just refuse to run across the street. Oh, that was a good scene, though. I really liked the whole, you just have to believe in the rules and the rules will keep you safe and it's going to be fine. And blah, blah. It was good.
It was cute.
So they arrive after all of this, all of these trials getting across the neighborhood 3 blocks away. They arrive at the internet's house. And the scene is just them walking into a basement and an old school computer monitor with like green 8-bit face goes, how did you guys get in here? And the characters go, well, your mom let us in. And then you hear dial tone.
It's the dial up of old computers.
And the screen has like captioning on the bottom that reads, I let them in. I thought they were your friends. And then he goes, Mom, I don't have any friends. It was just so good.
The internet is just that shitty, bratty fucking kid that everyone knew from school. That was how they portrayed the internet in this episode.
Like it in was their parents' basement. And
just a computer sitting in a chair using a computer.
Yeah,
exactly.
So Gumball confronts the internet and says, you need to take the video down. The internet says, no, it's up there forever. Muhaha. And then Gumball goes, well, if you don't, then I'm just going to unplug you. And he goes, no, think about what you're losing. Well, think about all the educational things that are on the internet. And Gumball goes, I don't care. And it's like this really tense hostage scene almost. And Darwin goes, well, think about the videos. And Darwin actually says, think about the cats or think about the animals or something along those lines. Right. And then it just switches from the cartoon to like, I don't know, 20-30 seconds of adorable cats, like still images, still like photos of adorable cats, and they're all fluffy and cross-eyed and have bows and berets. And when they pan back into the cartoon, all the cat, well, Gumball and Darwin are both like teary-eyed and wide-eyed and like, the internet is such a great place. And the internet is still just being a shitbag. Like, he's just being crappy about it, and they're like, there's so many redeeming qualities. And he's like, yeah, not really. Like, he's just being a jerk. And they finally decide that they're going to let the internet live and just ask the internet to be a nicer place.
Yeah, and then they say like, take responsibility every now and then or something like that,
and the internet's like, fat chance. And then the episode ends.
Yeah.
there's, you know, when they try to have him erase the video and he's like, You can't censor the internet. The internet is free. And then he goes, except for the 2/3 of the world that doesn't have it. It was just a small little poignant, like little
It was more than the internet, though. They said, you can't censor internet because of free speech. And yeah, except for the 2/3 of the world that doesn't have it. Talking about the free speech, not necessarily the internet, which was, right, poignant and amazing.
Very poignant.
Very, very good.
You know, the internet was portrayed as a shitbag because tends to be how the internet really is, you know. They did a good job with it, and the episode just ends with basically like nothing. They were like, and that was it. That's how the episode ended.
It was just, which I really like that. I think that's a, at least in my experience, that's like a new age cartoon kind of thing to do, where there isn't this wrap up and everything's exactly how it's back to like it was in the beginning of the episode. It's not like this full circle where you can see the story coming. It's very like abstract and like disjointed. It's like, what, fat chance of that, and then end. Like,
right.
I like that. Like, that's, I don't know, I liked it.
There was one scene I want to cover when they're trying to get to the internet's house. The internet hacks into a police cruiser.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Puts a wanted poster of them on it, and it says Gumball and Darwin wanted for, you know, list of like, tax evasion, like
embezzlement, tax evasion, these two children.
Yeah. And the police officer is a donut, which is great. So he sees them run by his car and he goes, oh, I got to get them. But first he like has to chug his coffee and then take a bite of a sandwich and then a couple other food items that he does. And then he takes a glass of water and puts an Alka-Seltzer tablet in it and it's just fizzing. But he's like really anxious to go get him, but not without his Alka-Seltzer tablet. And then he realizes he has no time and he throws it out the window. So he goes and chases them. He gets out of his car. He starts running and they're faster than him. So he pulls out his taser, but he couldn't catch him. And then he just like, because he was out of shape, and he got mad and just started shooting his taser in the air. And then he lays on the ground. And he goes, I'm out of shape. And then there's just a silence. And then a dead duck just falls on the ground.
Yeah.
I laughed heartily at that.
Oh,
at that
it's just one. Another like abstract weirdness that was going. And he's a donut, and he's throwing food into a donut hole. And I'm pretty sure the back of his cruiser is just full up of like not even chewed food.
They probably cover that, I would imagine. If he's a recurring character at all, I would make that a shtick.
This is another one of those cartoons like Looney Tunes from last week, where there's so much happening in a short period of time.
Yeah.
There's so many like little jokes and off the wall, like zany crap. One of the things that happens is, and this episode was social commentary on the internet for kids, which is really interesting. And after everything happens, he's embarrassed by the video and they fail to, you know, make a counter video and the internet's winning. He Google searches where the internet lives and he's about to go. And then a pop-up says like, 100 cute animals in hats.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're watching that. And then the time like jumps forward like a couple hours. And they're like, okay, we really got to go. And then it was like another 100 cute animals in hats. And like, just like, no matter how mad you are at the internet, you're still going to fall for the internet's bullshittery. You know,
get
like
trapped.
You're going to just one more video, you know, how the internet works.
The time suck of it all.
Yep. Yeah.
That's good. Good synopsis.
We'll get into the review, you know, after a break, but I think we adequately covered. It's impossible to cover everything in this 12-minute show.
It really is. Like you said, it's a lot like Looney Tunes in that, like, there's so much going on, and it's so nuanced and just these quick jabs and things that it's. Yeah, we'll get into the review part of it, but it was very good. I liked this show.
Yeah,
great. Anything else we should cover before we take our break?
No, I just really like the floppy disk.
Yeah.
Floppy disk was great. All right, so join us after this break where we are going to give a review of The Amazing World of Gumball, and we're going to play a little game.
Are you worried about a floppy disk losing all your payroll records?
No.
And we're back.
Woohoo.
That was a good break. We had a heart-to-heart.
We did.
Two of us cried.
Talked it out, you know.
One of us laughed. At the other two crying. It was a good time.
I wonder who that was.
Shut up, Kayla. Just stop. As we do on this show, we like to give a little review of what we watched. And our scale this week is going to be from, because it is the internet, it's going to be 0 to 5 like, comments, and subscribe. Because that's what they do YouTube. So that's how we're going to being that I am very familiar with the show, we will, let's start with you, Kayla.
I went into this thinking that I was not going to like this show at all. I tend to not like things that are really just abstract and there's not like any followable plot behind it. But I found this to be really good. At least this episode, I imagine the rest of the show is like it, that there is like a main theme or a thing that they're talking about, because in some newer cartoons, I don't really think that's the case. And it was smart humor. It wasn't just like obnoxious for the sake of being obnoxious.
Yeah.
Again, could have just been this episode. But based on that, I am going to give this 4 likes, comments, and subscribes. Not quite 5, because it is like in that realm of abstract where I don't know that I could watch too many episodes in a row, for instance. And yeah, I just need to see more of it, I think, before I could do like a 5-star like, comment, and subscribe review. But in particular, like I said, I really like the quick humor about it, how it, like, you can't even describe accurately the way that the characters are communicating to one another and why it's humorous, because it does such a good job of, I don't know, demonstrating how friends communicate to one another. And you're pulled into that pretty quickly. Like, we jumped into the second season, 37th episode, and we were pulled into it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I would definitely watch more of it. I'm interested to watch more of it. So yeah, I'm going to give 4 like, comments, and subscribes.
Subscribes.
Some subscribes. Sia?
Respect.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the same boat. I totally agree. If something is like too abstract and crazy, it definitely like turns me off from wanting to watch more of it. It just kind of seems too off the wall, but this has a good balance. I would have to see more. This episode is fantastic. I mean, there's the animation is super unique with, like you were saying, that like the background being still images of like real life stuff, even like playing off that to where it's animated in a way that's almost 3D sometimes. They kept doing this thing with Gumball whenever he was leaning in to the computer that I don't know if you noticed, but they changed the depth of field to make him like blurry and stuff. And it was just riddled with weird techniques like that, which make the animation process seem just incredibly unique. That's all I could say. But yeah, I really liked it. It's super interesting to me to see storylines of like newer age stuff that like kids are going to be going through frequently, like having to deal with the internet, looking at it as almost this mystical, weird thing.
Right. Cause like everybody knows our ages now. We like grew up with the internet. Like as the internet was growing into what it was now, we were growing up with it. So like, I remember, oh God, now I sound super old, but you know, we dealt with like dial-up computers. Or like if you picked up the phone, it hung up on the person who was on the internet and stuff. So
it's not even necessarily that like that we didn't go through a lot of the stuff that they're going through now. But what's interesting to me is that the cartoons and stuff that we grew up on never covered topics like this for good reason. But it was more stuff of like simple kids being outside doing weird, stupid stuff.
No, right. No, I totally, what I'm saying is like, I agree that that's an interesting perspective to see because now kids are experiencing that. Whereas when we were maybe the target audience for this show, we were just outside because get out of my house right now. I'm going crazy, you know? So no, I was agreeing with you that I do see that it's an interesting point that it's like kind of a different coming of age kind of reality for kids.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. I'm going with the same, I think, 4 likes, subscribes.
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 4 comments, likes, and subscribes.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of this show. I've seen this show under the influence, and I've seen this show sober. And it honestly, it doesn't matter. There are just some episodes on there that just go so surreal that, like, I think like when it ended, I was just like silent, but it was still super enjoyable. This episode didn't, it was not the one that I was thinking of that deals with like a Facebook parody. There's even like a reference to like internet porn, like on this particular episode. Yep. Like there is some weird stuff in there, but to make an episode of a cartoon about just kind of how evil the internet can be and how much of a time waster it is and all that stuff, two kids who spend probably a good majority of their time on the internet. Mm-hmm. It's just like kind of a ballsy move for a cartoonist, you know?
Yeah, that's like, true.
Like, you know, hey, this thing that you really, really love, it actually kind of sucks a little bit. That's really what this was like. And they do stuff like that quite frequently, like in this show. They're not afraid to test the audience. And when your audience is supposed to be kids, for you to like, you know, maybe like, I don't even care if I say that this thing that you love is dumb. I don't even care if I challenge you. Like, you should be challenged.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to think about this. In the middle of just like kind of surreal slapstick destruction. Oh, that's another thing I want to bring up. Like, there is so much destruction in this show. Like, there's an episode that comes to mind where like Gumball's trying to return a DVD to a video rental place and like ends up just destroying half the town in the process. Like, it's got like a lot of those aspects to it too. It's just, it's wild. I've seen a lot of the show and I've loved it every single time. I'm going to give it a 5.
Wow.
This is a modern cartoon that I love to death. It's I really want you guys to watch some more to get some more perspective of like some of the other characters, like the mom and dad. I love that dynamic. Just how weird the family is, having a cat as a mom and a bunny as a dad. And the dad is a very dumb dad. He's a he's definitely a parody on the standard dumb cartoon dad. They really just like push him to 11. And I believe they do that on purpose. It's just, I can't explain it. You have to watch Gumball. You have to get a taste. And I think this is a perfect episode to get a little taste of what the show is about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it 5 like, comments, and subscribes.
Nice.
You should definitely watch it.
High praise.
Don't at me when you watch this and you go, what the fuck is wrong with this dude?
you can't listen to you now. I mean, you're drunk.
Yeah, don't trust me.
Definitely at him.
Yeah, you can at me. I like talking to people. It's fine. But that was Gumball. I'm glad that you guys... I'm glad that it didn't fall flat for either of you, because if it did, I would have felt like really, really bad, because I've been doing nothing but like praising this show for a while now.
It's a good show.
Trust your suggestions.
No, that's a mistake. But Josiah, you have a game for us today. What are we doing?
I do. One of the cool facts that I found when researching this show is that some of the plot points in the show are based off of Ben Bachelet's real life. Like when his dad told him to grow stubble to look more intimidating. And that seems to be a trope that a lot of cartoon creators do, is they draw references from real life events. So I thought it might be fun for each one of us to draw from a real life event that we feel would make a good cartoon episode.
I like that. That's interesting.
So if there's any stupid, childish things that you've done, now is the opportunity.
If there's any.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I have two that I could think of pretty quickly. I don't know. Did somebody else want to go first? You want me to just jump right in?
Whoever wants to.
Okay. Well, I'll start off with at least one. Okay. So growing up, I was not known for my gracefulness in anything, movement
Stop
in particular.
It. Come on, Kayla.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Kayla's got it all figured.
Listen, I carried 3 beverages and only slightly burned myself not an hour ago. So I'm developing. Thank you.
That is true.
The problem is they were all cold beverages. I don't know how you did that.
So I was not a graceful child, human, even now. And I was known for running into things pretty, like, all the time. I don't know how I'm alive. But one particular time comes to mind that I can remember, surprisingly, that I think would make a really good, like, almost dream sequence cartoon. So, picture it. You are on your way with your closest friend, your 2 siblings, and your mom, and you're going to this really, really, really bomb playground that's a little bit farther away than what you normally drive to go to the playground, and you are all psyched to go. You were super excited. So you got all these cartoon characters in the car and they're bouncing off the wall and they're really excited. And the mom character is totally down, even though, holy crap, mom, I have no idea how you dealt with all of that. And you get to the park and you're super excited and you go sprinting as fast as you can to run away because your mom's decided that you all are going to play tag together. And then the scene goes black. And it's like this hyper, like, Call of Duty war situation where now tag is like life or death and you're hiding and like the playground's all gone dark and like you can kind of see people in the distance and you hear like screaming, ah, I'm it! Like you just like somebody got hit and you like you're just hiding and you're like running through and like you're trying to jungle gym it without falling to the ground. And at some point, like whoever's it is like a monster character and they're trying to tag it. You can picture it. Like, just do a little acid or drink something and imagine with me here. And then it's just like a dream sequence in which you get into like this really stressful situation and you can hear the breathing of the person that's it from like around the corner on the other side of the jungle gym. And then just as you know that they turn the corner, you come to, and then it's me laying on the ground with a splitting headache, realizing that what I actually did was get so excited that mom was going to play tag with us that I ran full tilt into a solid wood beam and knocked my ass out for like a solid 30 seconds to a minute.
Wow.
And everybody around you, all the other cartoon characters, are pissed because now mom has to take you to the hospital and they have to go home.
Oh my God. They still resent you for that,
don't they? They bring it up. Oh, God, that is 100% true story, though. We went to this park we were super excited about.
you didn't get to play because you knocked yourself out.
Yeah, well, like, I remember trying to use the pole to, like, whip myself around, and like somehow in my little kid brain that was going to make me like go much faster and turn this corner faster. But what I forgot to do was let go. So I effectively pulled myself full tilt off of a spin into a wooden beam and knocked myself out so hard. I gave myself a goose egg that was like huge off my face. We had to go to the hospital. They told me if it was like any other location, I would have blinded myself in that eye.
Wow.
Like, I was next level ungraceful, not graceful, not a graceful person. And they do still, resent me for that.
That explains your crippling fear of playground equipment.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not like disease and grossness, it's concussions and black eyes. So
I could see a cartoon off that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, the idea of like that kid mindset where it's a simple game of tag, but then it turns into life or death.
I'm even seeing it like, yeah, very much like that. And even kind of after the fact where it's like ending where you guys are at the hospital and your siblings are pissed.
Because technically I got to play that really intense game of tag while I was knocked out and they didn't get to play at all. Oh, man. I do have another one, but let me turn it over to one of you first.
Yeah. You want to go, Brian, or you want me?
Yeah, I would just love to have an episode of a cartoon, maybe in the style of Gumball, of just yours and mine's neighborhood hijinks throughout our lives. Like dating back to a simpler time when we were bored, where we would go to the park with a skateboard, a scooter, and a water bottle filled with red snow cone syrup that we would take a swig of, and then we would go ride a skateboard or a scooter by people and then wipe out and then just spit up a ridiculous amount of fake blood, like like a dumb amount of fake blood.
Brian, I kid you not, that was my pick too. I was going to talk about, yeah. Because it's so stupid. Aww. And it seems like something that could easily become a cartoon. We were irresponsible. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was like you wouldn't be able to do it now. Like it just wouldn't happen. The cops would have showed up instantly. The one time at this park at a bathroom, and I just walked up to like it was used in the urinal, and then I just coughed up a bunch of blood on the urinal. I'm just like standing next to someone pissing me. Hey, I was like, blah, blah, blah. just a stupid. And then later in life, when we were supposed to be, you know, we were in a very, very serious rock band that we would take breaks from just to go into like the front yard and do the invisible rope trick with cars as they were passing by, which for those of you that don't know what it is you take two people and you wait for a car to start approaching down a street, and you pretend like you guys are like huddled, and then you run to either sides of the street pretending that you're holding up a rope so the car could hit the rope.
Yeah.
Which always causes cars to stop because they're like, well, if I hit that rope, I'm just going to murder these children. I'm just going to pull them out in front of my car.
Just going to kinetic ball them into the side of my vehicle.
I would like
just
to...
dumb.
I'd like to quickly go over the reason we stopped doing the red syrup trick when we did it out in front of your house. And I fell. I was the one to hold it in my mouth and spew all over the place. I fell and did it in front of a car so convincingly. She slammed on the brakes, got out, and then got her phone out to see if I was okay and was dialing a number. Brian, you took off running. And I was left on the ground deciding how long I was going to commit to this bit before getting up and running away too. And then I got up and she cursed at me, and yeah, we stopped it.
We got cursed at a lot, like when we would also rock around with the acoustic guitar and sing songs to people. And then we did that in that convenience store by my house. And we just like walked in and started singing, and he's just like, get the fuck out of the store. And we're like, oh, God. And we had to run off.
Any one of those could be an episode.
Our neighborhood hijinks, yeah.
Another one that I thought of on the very off chance that you were going to think of the stupid things too. There was one time when we were younger, me and my brother, that we had to go help out this elderly person that my parents knew, who was like moving. And we had, I can't remember the exact situation, but we had just finished up and I was in like the back of the moving van and there was still stuff in there. And this one guy that I kind of found like he was kind of weird and I was just like an awkward kid, so I wanted to stay away from him. He took a break and he sat at the opening of the moving truck. And I was so awkward. I'm like, I don't want to interact with him. So I'm going to stay like hidden in this moving truck until he moves. And he stayed there for like 45 minutes. And the whole time I'm like, this is getting far worse because the more time that passes, I'm just going to look weirder and weirder, just meandering out of this truck.
What are you doing?
And yeah, I eventually had to just get egg on my face and walk up. And he was like, you were back there the whole time.
He couldn't even just let you have him, be like, no, oh, I didn't see you. And he had to be like, why were you there for 45 minutes?
And I'm sweating like a monster because there's no AC in there. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I was up there.
You should have just walked out, like, looking all freaked out and be like, what year is it?
Oh, man. I can see turning that into a cartoon and, like there's a guard and you're trying to be secretive. And then, like, there's all this stuff from somebody else's house that you've never seen before. You know what I mean? How, like,
right.
Other people's things are so much more interesting. Being trapped in like somebody else's house is always so much more, it's the same things
pretty much,
but it's
yeah.
just more interesting because you don't know how they collected them. I can see that being a, and in the end you're just like, eh, hi. You just keep walking. Oh, well, I had one more if you guys are interested.
Absolutely.
We could do a quick one.
Yeah, so The other one that I had is there was a particular time we were on a family vacation, and I believe it was my older brother, my dad, and I. We happened to be in Florida during a leap tide, which is where, because of the moon, the tide goes out much farther than what it would normally. And I don't think that we had planned it. We just happened to be going on a night walk, and there was, like, the water was out so, so, so far. And so I can picture this being a cartoon because what we ended up doing is my dad was like, hey, let's walk out there and see what we can see. And there were all these really cool like sea critters, like this huge conch shell, like a bunch of like bioluminescent algae and stuff. Like it was just really cool. And I remember being a kid and being like super enthralled with how awesome it was. And then we like slowly started to notice that the tide was coming back in. And I think I'm maybe 10, maybe like 9 or 10 years old. So I'm not a very like tall human. So the tide coming in was different for me as a small child versus for my dad, who I believe is 6 foot, if not a little over 6 foot tall. So it was like at my knees before my dad was like, hey, the tide's coming in. We should probably head back. And we turned around and we looked at the beach. We had walked so far out because of the way this tide worked that the beach was like, where you would normally sit in the daytime was like level with the top of my head. So like if the tide comes in fast, I'm going to be underwater at night. So I can see it turning into like one of those cartoons where you have to like, I don't know, run out of the waves and get out of the way before the sea monsters come and get you. And also like, yeah. It was such like a pure and nice moment to suddenly be like, oh, this was a little dumb. Like we're going to be in the ocean here in about 5 minutes. I don't know. I think that was another experience that could easily become a cartoon.
Turn it like, well, like, though. And at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen is just like a ticking clock.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. To your,
but nautical themed.
It exactly.
So it's like fish in weird positions and like starfish and stuff. Yes.
Yep. With the implication being like, if this reaches zero, you're dead.
Yeah. Like the tide will be above your head. You are a small child. Sharks are here.
In memory of.
Yeah. It's like a sad like dolphin it. Noise closes out the episode.
I like all of our cartoons.
I do too. Let's become cartoonists. Is that the word for
it? We'll make them. Yeah. Cartoonists, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got time. We got this.
I can draw a stick figure.
Joe can do voices, so it'll be good.
I got Brian down pat.
Hey, I have some accents that I haven't done.
But they all sound like they're from Wisconsin.
They do. Oh, well, goodness.
This was a fun episode, guys. What do we have to plug today?
So we, again, wanted to visit and encouraging everybody, if you have the ability, to go to the communityjusticeexchange.org. We're going to put that link in the show notes for this week's episode, just like it was in last week. This is a place that you can go, and it catalogs and lists all of the different bail funds, community bail funds in your area, so that you can, if you have the ability to, donate to the cause and help people who are being either arrested or illegally detained, find actual justice and keep the protests going, keep the battle for justice and equality going. In addition to that, this week I wanted to bring up, it's really important for everybody to do what they can as far as relearning the history of the United States, taking the time to educate yourself on stuff that, I mean, it's not our fault, truly, that we were small children and our K through 12 education taught us a different version of history than what the truth is. So this week I've been taking time to read and learn and try and reteach myself the truth. And I think it would be, I don't know, a good use of our listeners' time. If you happen to be a reader, check out the book, A People's History of the United States. The author is Howard Zinn. It's A People's History of the United States is a 1980s nonfiction book by American historian and political scientist Howard Zinn. In the book, Zinn presents what he considers to be a different side of history versus what the more traditional kind of fundamental nationalist glorification of country kind of history, which is what we were taught in elementary school.
Right.
It is a decently long book. It is definitely worth the cash and a little heartbreaking. So, sorry, yeah. I know that's a little bit of a long plug for you guys this week. But like I said, it's critically important that we do what we can to re-educate ourselves on the truth of what's going on in our country and do what we can to resolve it and promote that truth. So
absolutely.
It's fantastic. I mean, Christopher Columbus was like a good guy, you know, like he was just like chill. And he's like, whoa, America. Hey, look, natives, let's be friends. Like, that's what I was taught.
But yeah, I mean, that I was also taught that people discovered this country and then the people who were already living here super loved them and just gave them everything. And it was like a super nice party. And that's why we have Thanksgiving. Like,
yeah, that's what I was taught to.
Not the truth. Not the truth. And, you know, I'm going to assume that the majority of people listening to us are adults now and have the ability to go figure out what the true story was in a more rounded version of it.
Exactly.
Not just like, they gave us corn and we gave them blankets that definitely weren't covered in smallpox. Everybody's happy. Right. Not the truth, friends. Anyways, I digress. If you guys are interested in talking to us more, you can find us on all of our socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Cartoon Tonic Podcast. You can also send us email. I don't recommend writing it on a piece of paper, putting it in your CD drive, and sticking it into your computer.
Yeah.
You're just going to, like a regular email, not a paper email.
We won't get it otherwise. We've tried.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with our email, but you have to actually use the internet. So, yeah. But that is cartoontonicpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to send us any emails, any suggestions, if there's a cause that you think should be promoted on our small amount of microphone time that we have here, send it to us. We'd love to check it out.
Yep.
Other than that, I mean, I guess I don't normally start the end of this. So I'm just going to keep rambling until Brian says something.
Right. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. That was a good fall you had this time.
I got some distance.
Gosh, this is so cute. It should be illegal.
You ready?
Are you ready? Yeah. We said at the same time.
Yeah. That was my Brian impression. We did it exactly alike.
At Cartoon Tonic, we drink responsibly and hope you do too. Thanks for listening.